Okay. So just to add a few details that all lend to our understanding of Dalekosos and build off of points that we've seen in the past few days. So one point we spoke about the whole question of the Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim and its association with Dalekosos. And when the Gemara tells us that that obligation of Dalekosos extends to women as well because of Afen Hoyub Oso and Eif, so we had to figure out where does that come in when we consider the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And a lot of that conversation circled around the position of the Sefer Achinuch, that the Sefer Achinuch writes that the obligation applies to women as well. So the question was, why should that be? It seems on the surface to be a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. And if you want to say that Afein should apply, it's also a big question. But when it does apply, it probably only applies on a level derabanan, and that's not a distinction that we're finding from the Sefer Achinuch. So the Minchas Chinuch raised the question. So one of the suggestions that the Minchas Chinuch made was that maybe it has to do with the connection to Kiddush. Now, when it comes to Kiddush, that's a mitzvah to say Shehazman Grama. And yet, we know that women are obligated in Kiddush, that there's a hekesh of Zachar and Shamar, so whoever is obligated in Shmira Shabbos and not doing Melacha is also obligated in Zechira Shabbos. So perhaps there's an association between Kiddush, Zechira Shabbos, and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Minchas Chinuch suggests that, as you mentioned, but he doesn't necessarily run with it because we don't find that in the Gemara to actually be a drasha that we have. So as much as it could have been, but it doesn't sound like it's supported. So there is an interesting discussion about this in the Shiurim of Rav Rucham Olshin, who's a beautiful Sefer on Pesach. We mentioned that Sefer before, his beautiful Svarim on the Wadim, where he develops that thought of the Minchas Chinuch a little further. The Minchas Chinuch's idea that maybe it's connected to Shabbos and that maybe there is a real chibur there, maybe there is a real relationship between these two. So we know that the Rambam, as we mentioned, the Rambam in Chometz Matzah, the Rambam talks about the great obligation of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. And he writes that this is an obligation the same as we have by Zechiras HaShabbos, that he explicitly links the two. And it's true that we have Zechira in a couple of different contexts. And you know, we had Shabbos Zachar a few weeks ago. We have a mitzvah of Zechiras HaMalek. We have a couple of times in the Torah that we're told to remember things, but not necessarily handled the same way. So to assume a extra connection that deserves special mention between Zechiras HaShabbos and Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is interesting. And the Or Sameach, commenting on that Rambam, the Or Sameach suggests that the nature of a parallel that the Rambam is trying to bring is that both of them, there is a obligation in HaTorah to presumably say something. And Chazal formatted it around the drinking of wine, and that is a part of what the Rambam is trying to bring out. And we find that when it comes to Shabbos, we have a mitzvah to remember Shabbos, and presumably the mitzvah in our Torah doesn't involve wine, but Midrabanan it does, and it involves the Suda. And when it comes to Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim or Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, so there as well, a Torah level is to say something, and Chazal formatted it around the drinking of wine. So that idea deepens the connection between the two. And he goes a little bit further to note that the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, when he talks about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim on Pesach night, says that the idea is that we should remember this whole story, B'tchilas HaLaila, the beginning of the night. So what's the idea of saying it's not just applicable Pesach night, but it's applicable the beginning of the night? Presumably that's not a aspect of Zrizim Makdim and the Mitzvah, another sugya that we spoke about earlier in the year. And came up in its own context as well. We say we talk about their bedikas chametz in the beginning of a night. Is that because that's the zman, or that is the notion of zrizim makdim lemitzvos? So here it doesn't sound like it's zrizim makdim lemitzvos that prompts the Rambam to talk about the tchilas alayla. So Rav Volshin suggests that the parallel here really is to Kiddush, that maybe the Rambam really understands it as an aspect of Kiddush, that just like when it comes to Kiddush on Friday night, so we do that early on in the beginning of the night. And you may recall, to synergize with yet another sugya that we spoke about this month, so when we talked about the whole concept of Tosefes, Shabbos, and Yontif, and how the Rambam doesn't seem to acknowledge Tosefes Shabbos, at least on a Daraisa level, but he does acknowledge, he has to, that the Gemara says you can make Kiddush when it's still light outside. And the understanding was that he doesn't require Kiddush specifically on Shabbos, but that it should be around the beginning of Shabbos, maybe a little bit earlier, maybe a little bit later, but that it should mark the entrance of Shabbos sometime in proximity to the beginning of Shabbos. It suggests that maybe you find that idea here as well, that there is a notion specifically not just to go through all of the obligations of the Seder, but also to highlight that this is the night that we left Mitzrayim, and therefore that should be identified verbally, and it should be identified close to the beginning of the night, just like Kiddush on Friday night serves that function, so too Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim serves that function as well. And that perhaps that's the idea that we have, that there really is a very strong link between, or the Rambam has, there is a very strong link between Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Pesach night, and Kiddush. And therefore, this idea that the Minchas Chinuch suggested, but felt he couldn't substantiate enough, that maybe the idea of women being obligated in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is an extension of the fact that they're obligated in Kiddush. Maybe there's more to that. Maybe that is indeed the notion that there is this link of Kiddush and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the obligation of women could perhaps indeed be carried from one to the other. Okay, so far so good. Everybody with me? So that's one interesting point that connects these ideas to some of what we're continuing with. So as we transition into more Dalet Kosos material, the idea of Dalet Kosos is kind of on some level the Kiddush of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, meaning the Drabanan extension of this mitzvah speech into an aspect of drinking. So that's something very much to keep in mind as we go towards more discussions of these topics. Also, yesterday we discussed, and we had to kind of rush a little bit at the end, so just to expand a little bit more. Yesterday we talked about the topic of Mosif HaKosos, the idea that we find in some of the Rishonim, not explicit in the Gemara. The Gemara just talks about not drinking between the third and fourth kos, but the notion that the concept of a Mosif HaKosos, it was an idea that came up in some Rishonim, such as the Rush, and also the Rashbam on our daf, and it's also brought in the Ramah. So we try to understand a little bit what is the idea of being Mosif HaKosos, if it is a concern. The Rashbam also quoted the Yerushalmi with a different angle, but it's just about shukhrus, that we shouldn't become drunk and we have still the rest of the Seder to do, and we don't want to interfere with that. So that's the idea of not drinking between the third and fourth coast, but the idea of something of a concern of Mosif HaKosos. So that's a new concept that these Rishonim are introducing. And what exactly is that about? So a lot of what we talked about yesterday was just some kind of a concern of Baal Tosif, and is there an idea of Baal Tosif when dealing with it in the Rabbanan? And that was the bulk of the discussion that we had yesterday. But then at the end, we're kind of running out of time, but we mentioned a few other possible approaches that may not necessarily be rooted in Baal Tosif, but might have additional components here. So one idea, just to expand on a little bit more, we said a little bit about it yesterday, but the whole idea of adding on to something when there is a numerical significance. So is that acceptable or not? So on the one hand, that could be the issue here, that maybe we're just afraid that Dalet Kosos is supposed to represent something specific. And to add on to it, is going to interfere with that. And that certainly seems reasonable. There's a tshuva in the Lev Avram. Lev Avram is Avram Weinfeld of Muncie. He has a lot of very beautiful tshuvas. And he talks about the whole concept of baltosis in one tshuva and whether it applies to the Rabbanim. And he invokes this idea of Moses Falakosos, and he says that's likely about something else. That's likely about this issue of tampering with the numerical significance. But we need to be a little bit more specific about this, because there are some Rishonim that explicitly talk about adding on to things that have numerical significance, and there it's okay. So we find, for example, the Rishonim talk about Rush himself, who is one of those who, quoting here, is being concerned about being Moses Alakosos. But in the context of the Psukim of Machlius on Rosh Hashanah, so the Rush quotes the idea from the Rabbia that you can add on to the Psukim of Machlius, even though that comes with a set number. And we find that also the Gemara talks about adding on to the Zion Kruin on Shabbos. So we find an idea in some Rishonim of adding on, and here we see that the Rush seems to find it acceptable there, but it's the same Rush here who says that there's a concern of being Moses HaHakosos. Similarly, the Ramah here in Hilchos Pesach, the Ramah quotes this concern of being Moses HaHakosos, but the Ramah also in Hilchos Shabbos in Reish Tamach Gimel, which I gave you to look at also, so there the Ramah says that it's okay to add on Shabbos candles, that even though the notion of two Shabbos candles is about Zohar and Shamor, but still you can have more than two. So there seems to be some issue of definition. What exactly is it that guides us here? When is it okay to add and when is it not okay to add? So how come Malchus you can add, Aliyahs you can add, but Kosos maybe not? Shabbos candles, yes. Kosos, maybe not. What exactly is the parameter here? What exactly is the guideline? And this was a dispute as well, because once the Ramah said that you can add on Shabbos candles, so Shlomo Kluger and his Chachma Shlomo, Shlomo Kluger is always very, very creative. So he writes, you can do this with Hanukkah candles as well. So on the third night of Hanukkah, when the Mahajim and the Mahajim is to have three candles, that's good, but you want to have four candles, five candles, 10 candles, that's even better. So is that really the case? Teichthal, the author of Im HaBarim Smeich, has a tshuva about this in his Tshuvas Mishnah Sofer, where he takes issue with this, says, not true when it comes to Hanukkah candles. So what exactly is the guiding principle? When is it okay? When is it not okay? So I would think, talking generally, that it depends. What exactly is the involvement of the number? Is it that we are trying to represent various ideas? So we have one for each idea that comes up. So in the case of Shabbos candles, there's Zohar and there's Shamar. So one for Zohar and one for Shamar. But it doesn't stop us from going further and having a candle for each child, having whatever you want to add based on, because there's nothing that's going to interfere with that. But if the number is something specific, so then when it comes to Hanukkah candles, like the Teichthal argued, so if we're trying to tell a story that we went from one night to eight nights, then we have to have a whole progression from one to eight. So to have five candles on the third night is going to undermine that. It's going to interfere. It's not going to make sense. So it seems to be a logical place to draw the distinction. But still, you have to figure out, so what is the case? In every situation, is it just, all right, here's one for this, one for that, but we could keep going? Or is the number very specific? So there is a very fascinating approach by Rav Nosson Gestetner, and we alluded to the Sefer yesterday, but this we didn't mention at all. So Rav Nosson Gestetner is the great Posek, who passed away 10 years ago, the author of the Tshuvas Horus Nosson and many other Svarim, and he has a Sefer called Nosson Kirio and many Mesechtes, and has on Arvei Pesachim as well. It's available on HebrewBooks.org. And he has a very interesting suggestion there as far as how to understand why with the Dalet Kosos it might be very specific and we might not want to tamper with it at all in either direction. And part of his development, this idea, he points to the fact that the Rush has this concern of being most of the Hakosos. But elsewhere, the Rush also mentions the Yerushalmi about the idea of Shukras, about the idea that we don't want to get drunk towards the end of the Seder when there's still more, there's still howl to do. We don't want to get drunk, so we don't want to add extra cups of wine for that reason. So which is it? Is it the concern, like the Rashbam quotes both on Ardaf, is the concern Shukras, or is the concern most of Halakosis? So he suggests that they're actually linked together. And he notes that one of the symbolisms that we have when we talk about the Dalakosos, so we more frequently talk about the four Lashonos of Geula, and we spoke about that at various times in the past, and we'll come back to that point as well. But there's also a Medrash, a statement in Chazal, that says that we have four Kosos, Keneged, four times the Kos is mentioned in conjunction with Paro. So he asks, who cares about Paro when Paro is Kosos? Why is that something that is relevant to us in figuring out the notion of Dalet Kosos? And he quotes from the Maharal that the idea is that we're trying to get a theme of Cheres and a theme of something that is associated with the behavior and the mentality of the king. So we can look at Paro and we can see, okay, for Kosos, that gives us the idea that specifically reaching four kosos is more than what a person does normally. That is an expression of cheres. However, not infinitely more than that, because then once you go beyond that, so then you're just getting into shichres. Then you're just getting into the behavior of a drunk, of somebody who's looking to become intoxicated. So apparently there is a very specific balance, which itself is a interesting Musar Haskel, especially for some of the tensions and the counterbalances that we find in the Seder night, that there is a very specific balance between reaching the level of Cheres and not going beyond it into Shichres. So when the Rush says you should be most of Halakosos and we're concerned about Shichres, those aren't two separate ideas. It's the same idea that the symbolism of the Kosos is precise because it has to occupy that space between reaching Cheres and transitioning into shippers. So therefore, those two ideas actually work together. And that's what we're concerned about being most of Halakosos. So you could find that by other symbolisms, there's more room to add on. But when it comes to the Halakosos, we have that concern. And therefore, the notion of being most of Halakosos, he explains that way, which is a particularly fascinating explanation. Now, it's also important, just for clarity's sake, that we've talked about over the course of this Zman, that the idea that's more well known about the Dalet Kosos, that it represents the four Lashonos of Geula. So that's also a very important theme. And we noted that that also creates a significance that we have to get to at least before, that we have to get to all of them, that the idea that it's not just the Hotzeisi, but it's also the Hitzalti, it's also the Gaalti, and ultimately the Lakafti, Lakafti Lola'am, that we weren't just freed from slavery so that we could do whatever we want, but we're freed with a purpose, that we are working towards becoming God's nation. And to sell that message short is going to be a very fundamental flaw. So the idea of the Mishnah, the language of the Mishnah, beginning of our parak, of Yiftasu Lo Midalikosos, shouldn't have fewer than Dalet Kosos. Even the Anish of Yisrael shouldn't have fewer than Dalet Kosos. And we find also in the language of the Rambam a repeated emphasis on you should have four Kosos and no fewer than that. So we understand if we have four, you shouldn't have fewer. What's the question here? So perhaps the notion is, we suggested at that point that it's crucial not to lose sight of the fact that we weren't just liberated to do whatever we want, but that we were freed in order to become God's nation, and that that is our point of focus, and that's what we're going towards. So therefore, stopping short of four is going to really be missing something very fundamental. Here, the way the Nachman Tira discusses it, has a different reason why we don't want to have fewer than four, because Cheres Avka is reached when you hit four, and to have less than that is not going to get to the symbolism of Cheres at all, it's something else. So that's a different way of explaining this point, coming from a different aspect of symbolism that Chazal invoke, that we want the number of four and not fewer than that. So if we say Lashonos of Geula, it's because we have to have all the components of Geula as a part of our message and not stop short, especially of becoming God's nation. And here, if we focus on Pyro's cups, it's because fewer than four is not going to be a expression of Cheru. So two different ways of emphasizing the precision of the number here. But the difference is, based on this Pyro point, it is specifically four and not more, or not many more, because we want to have Cherus yes, but Shukrus no, and that's the concern of most of Falakosos. And the idea of the Arab Lashonos of Gula, so it means at least four, it doesn't necessarily mean that there isn't more to do beyond that, and that's a topic that we'll end up investigating in a little bit greater depth in future days. And just to say one more loose end, so as far as the whole symbolism of the Dalakosos, as we'll see, and their relationship to each other. So we spent a lot of time talking about the Ran and his question of what should we do about Haseba if we don't know how exactly to decide which cups get Haseba. So the Ran said that we have to do all four, like the Gemara says, because we can't say Safik Lakula and just pick one set of two or the other, because there's no Svara of going to this set rather than that set. So you saw, because I gave it to you to look at, but we never ended up discussing it, but the Tshuva Tzibbe Kivager has a discussion about that, and he says, doesn't really understand the Ran necessarily, because if you're not going to do the first two, so then by the time you get to the last two, so then that will be the clear obligation, because it's got to be somewhere, so then it's going to be a chiyuv to do on the last two, so then there's a svara to do like that. So it goes to the question, and Zalman Lechemi Goldberg is a Chazal Zavrach, a great Gaon who we lost this year, with so many others. So in the Shiurim that were printed of his Shiurim on Yom Tovim is called Oros Samoadim. So he notes that the Ran and Rabbi Akiva Eger are presenting different conceptions about the unity of the Dalakosos. That Rabbi Akiva Eger is saying essentially the first two are going to affect the last two, and that we see them all as one unit, basically one message of drinking the four cups, while the Ran, who's focusing on these are a set and that's the set, and there's no logic to do one over the other, that perhaps is more of an idea of the bracha al hakos notion within the Dalakosos, that we should look at each one as its own idea, and if we're going to have it say be here but not by the other one, we're going to perhaps be missing something fundamental. And just to mention one more point about that, back from the Less Imperial, that the idea, he also, in advancing his point about the precision of the Dalakosos, so it goes back to where this all started. He says that when the Rush says that if you're missing Haseba by a kos, so then it would make sense to do it again. That was the Rush's point, that when it comes to matzah, if you don't have Haseba by matzah, you're going to have to do it again. That's what he understood from the Gemara. But when it comes to the kosos, there's a concern of being most of the kosos, of adding on to the kosos. And he mentions the concern of shichrus. So the Nassim Imperial asks, I don't understand, that if there's a real concern that you need haseba by the kosos, so then we should worry about that and we should do it again. And the idea of halal, we want to be sober for it, that's going to come later. So if we're not able to do that, we still have the responsibility in front of us. Why is it so clear that the obligation of halal, which is also the Rabbanan, should interfere with our fulfilling the Dalakosos now, which is the question in front of us? Well, they're both the Rabbanans. Why should we worry about halal at the expense of making sure we reyote the kosos? So he suggests that that's the point, that the kosos themselves are affected by the concern of shukras. It's not just that maybe you won't be able to say halal, but that if added kosos, they come to represent Shichrus, so then that's going to miss the theme of Cherus. The whole theme of Cherus is this very specific balance, and we can't have less, but we can't have more, not just because of its impact on Hallel, but also because of its impact on the Dalakosos. So all of this sets the stage for the Gemara's on Kufes and the Beis, which we will discuss next, where the Gemara has a lot of distinctions to be made between the Chiyuv of Yayin and the Chiyuv of Cherus, and how that affects various principles. So, Be'ez Hashem, when we come back to this, we will explore all of those dinim and how exactly they develop these themes of Cheres specifically, and when that is separate from the union of the Kosos, and when that's its own concept, all of that is on our agenda for the immediate future. So we'll quickly recap, but so far, everybody following? Everything good? Any questions? Okay, so I can't see everyone at once. I don't know if anyone's raising their hands. I'm assuming that looks like everybody is with me, I think. Okay, so just to quickly recap what we spoke about. So we talked about a few points to kind of tie together some loose ends here. We talked about the idea of Nashim in Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Sefer Achim's tradition that they're chayiv, and the Mechatz Chinuch is saying, I don't get it, why should that be? Maybe it's a Hekesh to Kiddush, but we don't have that in the Gemara, so it doesn't seem to be enough of an answer. And we discussed the Rebbe Yochum Olshin's explanation of that, taking it further, that the Rambam's paralleling very closely of Zechiras Shabbos and Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, that there is a linkage there that demands attention, and the Or Sameach understands that they're both mitzvos, that the Torah says to say something, and the rabbis associated it with drinking. And to that extent, there is a large parallel being drawn, and the Rambam's language in Sefer HaMitzvot, the Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, should be B'tchilas HaLaila, so maybe that really connects it to Kiddush. It's just like Kiddush on Friday night, and Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim on Pesach night, all about identifying that night as when this happened, and that's something that is really connecting the two and could explain why maybe indeed the same drasha that obligates women in Kiddush obligates them in Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim as well. And then we said a little bit more about the concern of being most with Halakosos, and that if we move away from the Baal Tosfos angle, but the assumption that we don't want to tamper with something that has a specific number, so that's understandable. But we find that there are other cases in Halakha where we are allowed to add on, and that in some cases, it's the same voices saying, don't do it by the Kosos, but you can do it by others. The Rosh says, don't do it by the Kosos, but the Rosh says, you can do it by Malchias and Rosh Hashanah. The Ramah says, don't do it by the Kosos, but the Ramah says, you can add on Shabbos candles. And Chachma Shlomo there said, so Hanukkah candles too. And Mishnah Sacher said, no, Hanukkah candles are different than Shabbos candles. So what's the guiding parameter here? So we said, on the one hand, it seems that if it's just, okay, here's one for this, and one for that, and one for that, so then presumably you can keep going. But if we're really trying to tell a story with a number, so then we have to be specific, like Hanukkah candles, and it doesn't make sense to add on. So in general, that seems like a reasonable approach. But mentioned in us, Imperio has a much more specific understanding as far as the Baal Kosos, that based on the notion of Paros Kosos being a model for Baal Kosos, what's the significance of that? And he develops this idea based on the Maral that four represents Cheres, but beyond that, to get into Shechres. So we need to have the sweet spot between Cheres and Shechres, so therefore no fewer than four, but also we have to be very careful about adding on because of this concern of Shechres. That's why the Rosh mentions both, and not two separate concerns. It's all one idea that if we approach Shechres, then we are compromising on our Cheres, and that's not what we're going for. And that's also why we don't want to have fewer. And then we highlighted the idea that not having fewer really comes from two places. We talked about, sashkafically, we talked about the four Lashonos of Gula being the model for four. It's a more well-known idea. And there, it's very important that we get to four because that gives us the ultimate purpose of the Gula. So here, it's a different angle on the precision that it should be no fewer than four, but not too many more either, because we need to occupy that space between the Cheres and Shechres. And we also noted that, to go back to Ran about the suffix, so the difference between Rabbi Akiva Eger and the language, the Ran, in terms of the relationship of the very closest to each other, so that also highlights the question which is going to be in the background of everything about the Dalai Kosos. So is it a mitzvah of making a brach al hakos, in which case the Kosos really are more distinct from each other, or is it the idea of a mitzvah of drinking, which has a unity between all of the Kosos, and that's also a part of this theme of the number being very specific and carrying its own message, and how that impacts on the whole message of Cheres is going to be one of the major thoughts and ideas to keep in mind as we progress. Okay, sound good? Everybody with me? Okay, so thank you for accommodating today's remote scheduling. Tomorrow we have big, big Parsha things. A lot to talk about tomorrow. So really a very intense Kisusa is intense in general. Second Aliyah of Kisusa, particularly intense in a very difficult way. And so we really have Be'ez Hashem a lot on our plate. So I wish you all a safe and healthy day and a productive one. And I look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm.